Rusty Melissa's in West Virginia. Some of you know them. And shot a couple deer down there. I only went for 3 days and got 3 deer because they think I'm Jesus, Pam. They walk right up to the tree. It's just crazy.
Trickster! No. That's the best stuff. Why did you even ever tell me that?
But I did the same thing, and you know, it melts your heart to see he was so sincerely thankful, because he makes his own bologna, he makes his own dry beef, he does a lot of stuff with it, and I had them all skunned and quartered and in the cooler, and I just dropped them off, and he's like, thank you, and I'm like, are you kidding, man, it's awesome, so that's neat, so somebody did the same thing for you, good deal, wow, so yeah, no flu season, but there is a deer season. Thank you, Jesus. We got that on tape. Okay. I'm growing in confidence. I used to not talk about my hunting at all, because not everybody likes you hunting, but...
Can you send that to Peter?
What's that?
Can you send that tape to Peter?
I better just behave. I'm not going to stretch grace today. We're going to do some question and answer stuff today, so I don't know if you have questions. If you have questions, we might have answers. If you have questions, we might not have answers. We'll do our best. and we'll just see. But the school, I know a lot of questions rise. We don't get to ask them all. You might have a question you've just had that has nothing to do with what we've been talking about. It's just a question. Today's a good day to ask it. We'll let you ask questions. So I don't know if you're prepared for that or have any. We'll do our best to answer them. So I really have no other plan than that today, and we'll just see how it goes, okay? And like I said yesterday, if we run out of questions, we probably won't run out of something. So we'll be all right. We'll make it. All right? So
the information that was presented yesterday, I'm very thankful for. And my question is, how can we project this outside of these four walls so that it becomes productive to the church itself and especially the young
people? That's a good thought, but you're asking George.
To not get off on the wrong tangent, so to speak, and say that it's a godly situation.
Right. Do you guys all understand why I'm so tiptoey around with just sharing that and crying that out in a big congregation? You don't? You don't understand why? Because you got a husband and a wife possibly sitting there, and you preach this, and the wife's seeking Jesus, and the husband's there because he wants her there. She wants him there. And then the husband's sitting there going, oh my God, you're cutting me off, dude. You're killing me. What are you? Oh God, that's just what she's hearing. She's elbowing her husband like, I hope you're listening. And then all that message does is create strife and ultimately separation and divorce in a marriage because they're not on the same page. And all of a sudden she holds him to truth instead of yielding to truth. And all of a sudden she's holding him accountable. And now all of a sudden intimacy is a dirty thing because he lusts her. And now she doesn't understand in God how to pull the best out of him and yield and actually through goodness bring him to repentance. And now she's just abstaining until he changes and he's feeling forsaken. And the actual message can't even be preached clear when everybody's in the room, because it'll do more harm than good because of where hearts are. It's very painful for me. I feel like I could cry just talk about it because that's so real. You have no idea how real that is, what I'm telling you.
Same thing what you're saying, Rich, like the scripture that says that the holy living wife sanctifies the husband, and the husband likewise.
Right. That's in that same chapter. Yeah, it says, or else the children would be unclean. Hi, girl. Everybody say, hi, Jessalyn. Amen. We love you. You're awesome. Look at her shine. You've had that gleam in your face for a few times I've seen you in a row. It's a different gleam. It's like, I'm in love kind of gleam. That's what it looks like. Amen. You're still doing it. But that's exactly right. So when you're with an unbelieving spouse, it actually says through the conduct of your life you can win your spouse. It's not with your words, it's with your life. It says if an unbeliever is willing to stay with an unbeliever and it has husband or wife, it doesn't make one or the other, it's either or. It says if they're willing to stay, man, let them stay. You be an example. You shine light. I don't know if you know, did you ever hear Marriage Ministries International?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the founders of it and their testimony, if you could track that down, some of you technical folks. But their testimony is amazing. He's sleeping around all over the place, a boozer, coming home with the smell of perfume on him and women. And she was just in faith. Every Christian in her life told her she's being used. She's a doormat. Every pastor she knew said, why are you wasting your life with this man? And they all wrote this man off. And she said, but he's created an image of God. He has the value of the kingdom. He's lost. He's deceived. It's easy to run out on him. But Jesus hung on the cross for him. I'm not running out on him. And he would come, and then he'd expect, you know, to jump in bed with her at times. And she, you know, the whole thought of being with other people, get real with me, diseases, infections. She just submitted it all to God and said, I will be the woman of God. And I will love this man. He needs someone to love him. He's so lost. And she stayed. And in that place, and when I went through Marriage Ministry International, even as leader in training and to do a group and stuff. So I was real face to face with their testimony and their hearts. And it was amazing because the intimate detail side behind it was, you know, because you put yourself in that situation and now the talk and the intimacy, and there's the husband and wife coming together. And, oh my goodness, she, you could have all kinds of things on your mind right now as the wife. And all she would have on her mind is, God, you love him so much. God, you love him so much. And that way she wasn't just there till it was over. She was actually participating in love for him from her heart. And it was a form of intercession and believing him back into truth. And that's amazing to me. See, because anybody can give up, move on, cut off, write off. Anybody. We actually seem pretty good at that, the way our minds work. We come up with reasons to find our rights. So some messages you just can't preach. But to answer George's question, excellent question. George's question was, how can we apply yesterday's truth? Well, I'll say that for the sake of Wiley's recording so that we can utilize this down the road. How do we utilize yesterday's, which we turned the switch off on? Yeah, and that was the wisdom of God, I promise. And
there's a lot of stuff though that you said that we, you know, that was fun, that had nothing to do with that, that applies to what you're talking about.
I understand, but your question's excellent. Here's my answer, and it's what I do with this revelation personally. So it's an easy answer for me because it's what I do. Every opportunity in one-on-one situations, every opportunity when I get close enough to a young person, I pour these truths into them individually, personally. Do you see what I'm saying? And I purpose to multiply it. Here's the deal. It seems like that's not enough because you got to get corporate settings, corporate things. But because of this dilemma I just shared that we have. See, the first time I understood this, remember the night I shared with my wife and I? Remember when I had to switch off and I shared, I walked you through that scenario when we got restored? When that became my reality, I went to church and I was like, oh, and I should learn. And I had the microphone and I wanted to share some things. And I was all excited and I was like, guys. And I went to share and Holy Spirit said, shh. And I went, what? And I was like full of zeal. And I'm like, but I got to share this. This is so powerful. And I was walking in the glory of it. And he went, shh. And here's what he whispered to me. He said, they will hurt one another with it because of where the hearts are. And I lost it inside. I just wanted to go cry and intercede.
Use it as a weapon.
Against, and to actually invoke selfishness and rights. And use the truth against one another instead of for one another. You get it? So the important thing now, I'll be honest, that thing that we switched the mic off on yesterday, I shared with three pastors in my life, and they all shut me down and said, whoa, whoa, stop, stop. You're freaking me out, just stop. And they said, I love my sex life, thank you.
Wow.
Three pastors shut me down. Didn't even want to hear it, man. They were like, whoa, stop. didn't even want to hear it, man. It was amazing. And but I've shared it on personal levels with men. I won't share it with women because of where their man might be. This thing I shared yesterday where we flipped the mic on would probably hurt and challenge the woman more than the man in the sense of her response to that truth and the position she stays in. would allow herself to get hurt and hold her husband to it. And the men are the one in most cases that need to hear that message yesterday. I'm impressed and pleased that I had the grace to just pour out my heart and you guys were able to hear it. And that just says a lot about the room. So I commend you guys for that. Because I believe me, it wouldn't matter if everybody's cheering, preach it. If I didn't have a release, I wouldn't preach it. I think you guys know that. And that says a lot about the room here. And God was entrusting. I had one of you gentlemen come right up to me with tears in his eyes and say, thank you for this today. Man, I needed to hear this today. And it was so sincere. And I just was like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, it just helped me to see that there was a grace on yesterday. So. But that's all I know. That's the only answer I know to multiply this truth. Now, there are some truths that you could share at large with groups of young people, young men, young women, especially before marriage. Like a group of young girls. I would love an opportunity to teach girls who they are and who they're created to be and put them all in a room. And I would have grace to do that if it was just all the girls in the room or over here, all the boys. So there's, you know, you could take this truth and preach it to especially youngsters that aren't married yet or people that aren't married yet. And really, if you do it to married folks, you have to be very sensitive to who you're giving the knowledge to, and it's probably guys giving it to the guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's been occasions, I used to think it was always the guys. There's been occasions where I've realized some of the women have some of the same struggles as the guys. So, yeah. But I think in that topic, my heart goes out to you ladies more than anything. Probably. I feel like us guys need touched by the Holy Ghost across the board. I really do. So, but that's the only answer I know. The one in front of you, one at a time. Where you see opportunity, don't sit on this revelation. Pour it out and give people the right to respond. Sow the seed. If we don't give truth, there's no freedom. If we don't sow a seed, nothing grows. So things that you're learning and growing in, you pass them on. First, wait, let me back up. First, become it. And then you have the authority and anointing to pass it on. Don't just preach the doctrine. Okay? Don't just preach it and not become it. That would mess you up in time. You'd just feel like a preacher. And it'll violate your conscience down the road. No, you want to speak out of the reality of your heart. You want to speak out of what you're living and enjoying and tasting, and it's good. And then you have something to give. Make sense? So make sure you become it, and then, yeah. So, is that good? Is that the only answer I have? You multiply it. You share it with people in the right settings. But you all understand why we turned the mic off yesterday. Okay, good. Good. Who, Brian, you had your hand up. Yes. Both Brians did, but you were actually the first hand raised.
It pertains to tongues, if you want to say that.
Okay, well,
anyway, in Ephesians 6:18, Paul says, pray at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication.
Just turn to 6:18, guys. We'll just go there since that's where his question is. Okay.
So we're praying at all times in the Spirit. Is he talking about tongues there, or is that something else?
It says with all prayer, so any form of prayer. There's intercessions, there's supplications, there's prayers of committal. What he's saying is keep your soul submitted in a place of prayer, consciousness of God, fellowship and relationship with the Lord. It's really, if you take the armor that we're looking at right here, okay? Verse 13, take up the whole armor. It's broke down for our sake. It's described so we have contact and can relate, contact point of faith and can relate to it. But the armor, and I'm not taking away from this writing because it's here on purpose. God seemed fit. It seemed fit to write this. But like your waist girded with truth. There's, if you look at the way they battled and their armor and what each thing did, your breastplate of righteousness, protecting your heart, man, I'm right with God. Okay. The helmet of your salvation, you know, it's protecting the mind, but everything about that's mentioned here, it has significance where the armor's concerned and the way they back in those days, it made sense in their culture and the way they went to battle and they understood that. But, here's what you need to see. It's very simply, and I'm not taking away from this writing, it's very simply the accomplished, finished work of Christ. The whole armor of God is what he accomplished and who you are because he died and rose again. It's the finished work of Jesus applied to your life. Okay? So when you look at the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always, what he's saying is keep your mind held captive in a place of communion with God. Praying with all prayer. There's prayers of surrender, prayers of committal, there's prayers of intercession for others, there's just asking prayer, there's praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. It's with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end. That means when you see Romans 8, it says, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ, who walk according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. You say, well, that's why I'm condemned, brother, because I've been walking in the flesh. It's not meaning just sin and the works of flesh. It means your own ingenuity, your own ability, your own wisdom. To walk in the flesh means to walk in your own strength in that chapter. You look it up. You check it out. To live by the Spirit means to live by the grace of God available through the finished work of Jesus Christ. To live by grace, not by works, is always saying. If you live by the Spirit and not by works, you won't be condemned. Why? Because you're not under the law, so you're under grace. There's no condemnation. Should we continue to sin because we're under grace and not a law? Well, of course not. How should we who died to sin live in it any longer? So when he says here praying and praying in the Spirit, it's in agreement with what God has accomplished. It's in the spirit of truth, if you will. It doesn't just mean when it says they're in the Spirit. It says with all prayer and praying in the Spirit. It means according to truth. According to the will of God, it can be any form of prayer and absolutely other tongues. Okay? Absolutely other tongues than everything we talked about yesterday. Yeah. Communion. I would like to interpret that and tell you very simply to say, this represents your full communion with God, your exchange, your relationship, and your co-laboring on behalf of His will and purpose. Do you guys, I see you, Mick. I'll get you then. Do you see that you have the honor of praying God's heart on the earth, speaking what God speaks, that He moves through us? It's like God praying His will through us because He made man in His image to subdue the earth. So it's like God working with God in you. So He inspires you to say what He would say if He was in your position. By the Spirit of God, by truth, you speak it out. It's as if God's speaking because you're doing it's in His will. It's so powerful. That's what a lot of times prayer. That's why walking in love is such a big deal, because if you see a situation through the eyes of God and you pray about that, you're praying God's heart right back to Him. It's as if God's praying Himself. Do you get that? It has nothing to do with need and flesh and want. Sentiment has to do with love. It has to do with truth, true justice. Does this make sense? So when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying in accordance to truth. It's in this situation, it could be, well, it says with all prayer and supplication. So there's prayer for things. There's committal prayer. There's supplication and asking for things. There's other tongues. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll sing with understanding. It's really just talking about keeping your life in Him. I'm wearing what He accomplished. And I'm keeping this thing in fellowship. Really, that's how simple I define that. Okay? And it means a whole lot. It means a whole lot. But that's a general, that's how simple I'd keep that. I don't ever teach this out and just focus on the specific pieces of armor as much as, my goodness, we have peace with God because we've been made right. And that truth protects you. You get what I'm saying? Okay. Nick?
All true. And watch the same way in the context of what I have seen in that particular scripture. Paul is praying, if you look at the next few verses, that he's praying that he might be an ambassador for the mysteries of Christ to those people that he hasn't even met yet. Mm-hmm. So he's probably praying in tongues for people he don't even know, like that God might open a door of utterance when I get there.
Right. It's all prayer. It's all supplication. So it has to do with all these things. Watch, though. Pertaining to the advancement of the kingdom and the fulfillment of the will of God. Not just our needs and what we need today. And it's all manner of prayer and supplication and in the Spirit. If you're yielded to the Spirit, do you understand that a lot of people pray from the flesh? versus the Spirit means they're just led by their feelings, led by their needs, led by their fears, led by their wants, led by, and praying in the flesh isn't the same as praying in the Spirit. So we get our heart in agreement with God and one with God, and we're praying in the Spirit. It's, man, the Spirit is life and peace. Amen. So it's just a good deal. And what Mick said, you can see that in the rest of the chapter. So everything they're praying, what he pulls it into is into alignment, things pertaining to God, His kingdom, and others. The advancement of the truth. And it's a big deal. Do you have any other questions?
A follow-up on what is actually going on when the Spirit man is being built up in tongues? Like I said,
it says the Bible, it says you edify. Let's go to Corinthians again real quick for anybody that wasn't here yesterday. And let's just look because it's really good.
I don't know if we covered that one day or...
We covered it whenever you were AWOL, man. We covered it.
Pick the question you're answering.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Wiley. He asked, how do you build up yourself in other tongues?
What's going on there?
What's actually going on? Sometimes hard to explain. It's hard to explain edification. It's hard to explain awareness, knowing. When you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up. We talked about it in Jude, in your most holy faith. And I said how some people could argue that that's not necessarily praying in tongues, but I believe it covers it all. It's all manner of prayer. So when you read in Jude, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit, people would say, well, that just means led by the Spirit. Well, yeah, it does. And praying in the Spirit also, you can find in that interpretation where it would mean praying in your spirit language. Remember how when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in tongues, I mean, you're not speaking to men, but to who? Man, that's awesome right there. So just knowing that as a Christian and believing that, and you understand this has to, it takes faith to live the Christian life. I got to answer the question. And so when we speak in a tongue, we speak what? We speak, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong chapter. Are you in 1 Corinthians 14?
Yes.
Okay. I was still in 7. God, get me out of 7. Okay. I was still in that whole thing from yesterday. I was at 7. thank you, God. Verse 2. Well, just verse 1. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in the tongue does not speak to men, but to God. That's a big deal. No one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So he talks about especially that you may prophesy. The reason he says that is because prophecy brings edification to all. So it's the same principle how a prophecy that's inspired by God will come out and edify people and give them a greater awareness of God's love or a greater understanding of God's purpose or just a greater knowing that he is. You follow what I'm saying? Edification, encouragement. You just feel stronger on the inside because God just spoke, you know? You just see a little clearer. Just, he's a little more real. There's a lot of blessings and perks and benefits to the whole prophecy thing. Well, he's making tongues here more as a personal individual thing, but later reveals that if tongues are interpreted, it's the same level of prophecy. It's the same thing as prophecy. So if tongues are interpreted, it's the same as prophecy. And but the reason it's not, if it's not interpreted, because you're edifying yourself, but no one else understands. But nonetheless, you're edifying what? Yourself. So he encourages it. So let's keep reading. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands. He speaks. Look at this. But in the Spirit, he speaks. Man, he speaks mysteries. If you have faith and really believe the Word of God, it's fun to pray in tongues. Because you know you're speaking to God and you're speaking mysteries. And your mind isn't even grasping. You're in another realm. It's another realm. It's another realm. See how excited I am about that? It's another realm. Faith says yay. Just do it. Okay? So I'm getting edified, Brian, just thinking about it. Just thinking about it. I'm a little closer than I was before. Watch this. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. There's something so beautiful. I used a couple examples yesterday where I just sang a little in English, sang a little. This thing is really being contrary today. Just let me get it right because it's starting to try to distract me and I don't like feeling distracted. That's the devil to me. Huh? What's that?
It
Yeah, well, no, I'm thinking there's something happening. Is there something wrong? Something's not right. But it's starting to distract me, and it's rare for me to feel distracted. Thank you, God.
Yeah, go ahead and do what you want. Get that around your ear how you like. It was pulling.
I could feel it keep popping off my ear, but it was just, I was so conscious of it. Usually I'm not conscious of anything when I'm teaching. Okay, good deal. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So here's where he's separating tongues for personal use versus prophecy for corporate use. And then later he explains that if it's interpreted, it's on the same level. Here's what happens, Brian. You're praying in tongues. You can pray in English, and then you're praying in tongues. It makes you spirit conscious. It brings you in touch with the fact that he's in you. He lives in you. There's some personal things that I'm sharing. I don't know if other people have personal things they can add. You just shared about praying in tongues all day. How does that edify you, Dick? Maybe you want to add something. If anybody does, you get up here so it's on the tape. But to explain the edification is sometimes hard to put into words. There's a deeper knowing. God's just more real in that place, especially when you do what later verses say, that therefore him who speaks with a tongue, pray that he may interpret. Some people say, well, that's just talking about in a corporate setting. No, I want to understand sometimes in my private setting. Sometimes I'll pray and pray in tongues. And, well, even yesterday, Phyllis heard what I was praying when I was in. She got all excited and it really touched her. And she said, I deserve what you said. And it got to edified, and it was like, oh, and it was just really cool. And but you can pray that you interpret. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, who's praying? I am. But guess what's praying? My spirit prays, but it's coming out of my mouth. Why? Because we're one. He's in me giving the utterance, and I'm praying it out because we're one, and we're praying it in the spirit, not speaking to men. It's very personal, but speaking to, what are we speaking? Mysteries. I shared yesterday about, you could have something on your heart. You could have a governmental situation that you don't have a lot of knowledge about. You could have a situation about Mike Jacoby in the school that you don't have a lot of knowledge about, but you know his heart, and you know there's a prayer need. There's a concern, not in a bad way, but just a real concern where we need to touch a God. And you might not understand much, but you sure know his heart, and you know that if his heart is for those kids, it has to be good. It has to be God. And you just turn, and you're in your bedroom, and you have him big on your heart, and you lift up your hands, shake, and Mike Jacoby is on your heart. He's in your spirit, and out of your spirit is praying, and bam, and it's because God knows. And all of a sudden, probably the best prayer you can pray at times when you don't have understanding is just to get that in your heart and just release yourself in praying in the spirit and praying in other tongues. And there's something that just happens inside where you know God's moving. You know God heard. You know God's in it. Because the more you flow in this, the more you know it's him. And that's where I believe personally, I'm just speaking personally, and some of you can help me with this. The edification in me comes from the fact that you're in me. We're one. Man, you're praying through me. You're praying through me. This is intimate. You're in me. And you get these situations in you. You could just look at the culture. You could look at the generation. You could look at the youth. You could look at the state of the church. And you could get so overwhelmed it's too big for words. But your heart really cares. And you don't even know how to put what you feel into words. Thank God for Holy Spirit, because he knows exactly what to say. It sounds something like this. Shekasata babahakasate. And it just happens, baby. Do you get it? And he's praying through your spirit. See, I feel happy. Do you feel happy? I feel happy. Forgive me. I feel happy.
I was fortunate enough to have Ellie David as a mentor. Started about a year ago.
Yeah.
He's a product of Dave Roberson. Are you familiar with Dave Roberson?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, there, when he started, it was 10 hours a day in times.
Wow.
And Ellie really put it on hard. He was very adamant about praying.
Praying in tongues.
And he says that your spiritual promotions and your advancements and that the mysteries that are being revealed to you three times as fast praying in tongues as they do in English.
Right, because here's what happens. Because what because in your mind you think, man, what am I doing? I don't even understand. What she's, I had a pastor once say, why would I spend that much time in prayer when it's unfruitful to my understanding? Because there's a place of faith, you're growing in the fact that he's in you and you're together. And those mysteries start getting revealed. Understanding actually comes profuse. Just walk in your floor, just praying in tongues. And then at times getting thoughts in your heart and shifting into English, doing both, and then right back into tongues. You'll feel the tongues. I don't know if this is Dick's experience, but sometimes the tongues will get more aggressive and even bigger and just full of heart, and you know you're in the right place.
Yes.
Well, what's neat is that you can be doing other things and still praying in tongues. So people will say to me, how do you pray so many hours of praying in tongues? And so you can do other things.
Yeah.
Right.
I can watch Sid Roth and pray in tongues.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's really...
You can work most jobs. A lot of times you can work if you're running equipment, if you're doing something, even if you're keying, you can probably pray in tongues. We had that conversation yesterday with someone. I said, man, you can pray in tongues like a lot because you don't have to think. And another cool thing about it is, watch this thought. It actually disengages the mind. It is so much of the time a detriment if it's not in the place of, it disengages that. So now you got all this time invested in, I'm praying in a tongue, but my spirit prays. My mind it's unfruitful. That probably isn't so bad now and then, where you're not having to cast things down and drift over here. You're praying in tongues. It keeps you where? In Him. Amen?
When you're driving, it's as easy as time for me.
Easy. Real easy. I'll be driving and just break out and pray in tongues and get excited with it. I might even just sing a song and just worship God. And it just feels like worship in my spirit. Most of the time, I don't even know what I'm saying. Sometimes I actually do. Sometimes I'm praying in tongues. And we shared all that yesterday. But it's just powerful. I got hands, Mick.
Is it not so in that body often that praying in tongues in that language is a language you have a communication with God that the enemy can't understand? The enemy knows the carnal mind, it knows your flesh, it knows your desires and wants and loves, but it doesn't understand.
Yeah, it's a total mystery. It's you're speaking to God, nobody else. So it's a total mystery. And it's good. And in that place, like Dick was saying, totally agree. In that place, revelation comes faster and you actually start being brought in to the mystery. Things become real. When you read your Bible, things could get clearer. I've already read, prayed in tongues, worship, read my Bible, thank you, Father. But you're just aware of Him. The edification a lot of times in me, in my life, I'm just personally speaking, is just the awareness that you're so real and you live so big on the inside of me. You know, it's one of these things. So when I'm praying in tongues and it's awesome and it's a weapon. To me, it's a weapon. It's a weapon because we don't always know the best way to pray. And God's given us this amazing weapon called the mighty Holy Ghost and His wisdom inside of us, which is immeasurable.
So it can be fun too because I'm a disabled veteran, so I drive to Lebanon once in a while. It's about an hour and a half trip. So I get on the turnpike, it's an ideal time to pray in tongues.
Just praying in tongues.
And I did this last year. I'm going to Lebanon. I'm about halfway up and I start laughing in the spirit. I mean, by myself, I'm just laughing. People are passing me thinking,
no, it's awesome.
But as soon as I stopped laughing, I started praying in tongues, started laughing again. And I said, Lord, what are you doing? I'm trying to pray. And He said, what you're asking for, you're not ready for yet. And I'm good. In the meantime, I'm going to humor you.
It's personal. It's intimate. I burst out laughing. That's why I chuckled. We said I was coming up the road today, just up 30, and just communion. And I literally, I belly laughed as if you were sitting beside me and told me a serious joke. And it was so real to me. And God's just that intimate. I mean, I belly laughed. I'm the only one in the car, but I'm not alone. And so there's an edification there. And some of it I was reflecting on yesterday in the school and some of this stuff. So it's just cool. Hands are shooting up all around. I don't want to, Tom, I don't know the order, but I know hands just kept increasing. So I know Tom's was up a while back.
Going back to Ephesians 6:18.
Mm-hmm. It
says, as you pray at all times, with all kinds of prayers and requests, in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all God's people. Mm-hmm. Can you pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues?
In Romans 8, where it says groanings that cannot be uttered, There's some teachers that teach that that's also tongues, or some teachers that teach that that's not tongues at all. I believe it can be both. I don't believe the word's so rigid that it's one or the other in many cases. But there is a place where you're praying in the Spirit and it's not even words. It's not tongues. See, it comes on me when I'm teaching it. Like right now, it's coming on me. There's things that you see in the Spirit and all you can do is cry. And I promise you, your surrender, your yieldedness, your tears alone in that place or sacrifice before the Lord, their intercession, because it's your heart for that situation. It's the heart of God crying in you. Some of us guys, come on, without grace, we don't even have the ability to care that much about something that we could lay down and cry uncontrollably. God just eases it on you. And all of a sudden you see it through His view, through His heart, and you're overtaken. And there's times where groanings, I asked this question yesterday, who's ever been in a place where it's gotten so big for a family and you're so overwhelmed and you feel like your emotions are going to go out of control because you just, oh God. And next thing you find yourself just rocking a little on the floor and you go, oh God, oh, and you're just, and it's just a groan, it's a moan, it's a release, it's a, oh, I've been in that a whole lot. There was a time I was walking up the stairs of the church I was pastoring, and this weeping hit me. Now, this is a personal experience. I don't talk about it much. You guys get in on some personal stuff, and it's God, I don't share this stuff. I'm ready to flip the mic again, because we'll see, well, where can you find that in Scripture? Found it in my relationship, and it makes total sense to me, and there is actually some places you could probably find it if you look hard. I was walking up the steps, and this emotion hit me, and this tears, and I was already in that season of intercession and tears, and I had just made a mistake. I was ready to pray for a whole bunch of pastors from the wrong heart, and God told me not to pray, and He said, you were only going to pray because of what you see wrong with those men, and He stopped me from praying. And I was ready to let her rip. Because I laid on the floor and built the case real big. And then I stood up. God, I lift these men before you. And He said, shh, don't you lift nobody before me. I was ready to really let her have it in prayer, baby. And I would have sounded right and they would have sounded religious. And God said, you're only praying because of what's wrong with those men. He said, Dan, if I let you pray from that motive, it won't be long till something's wrong with you. That's what He said. I just bawled. So it was right after that, I'm recovered, I thought. And what He was doing in that time was working love into me and getting His heart into me, because I so want His heart. You have no idea. I want to be just like Him. I really do. It's a hunger to me. I want to be just like Him from the inside out. So I'm going up to the sanctuary, right? And He knows I want to be like Him. He knows that I don't want to judge those pastors and pray from that place, but it seemed right to me. It seemed emotionally right. It seemed physically right. It seemed mentally right. And He knows that in that correction, I'm realizing and humbled that without His wisdom, I'll make mistakes. I'll just live in the flesh. And He knows all this stuff going on in me. And I'm coming up the steps, and He allowed me to have this experience. It was the most, probably one of the most incredible heart experiences I've had. My heart, it was like, for the big picture, I can't even explain it, like humanity. It was, I didn't even know what was going on. My heart just, it just like broke. And I started crying, and I couldn't walk. And I'm crying so hard, and I'm down on the floor, and I'm laying, and I'm incapacitated. I can't do nothing but cry. And I'm bawling, and I'm bawling. And it literally felt like it was too much, like I was going to die. And I got back up, and I'm bawling, and it started to lift off of me. And all of a sudden, I was okay to go up to pray, because I was going up to pray. And I'm standing, and I'm like, what is going on? And I said to the Lord, Lord, what is going on? He said, Dan, I cried often like this when I walked the earth. And He showed me, and I believe this, and I believe we'll find out this way, that on His nights all night when He didn't sleep on the mountain, a lot of it was curled in a ball, just crying profusely. because of the fall of man and the will of God to restore, because of the blindness and truth standing in front of men and men refusing to see and all that stuff, and death being dominant over life in their minds, even though life and Jesus, just his heart and his love as a man in the flesh, just crying and weeping and crying. Can't prove it, but I sure had that experience, and I know he put that in my heart. And I know when I got up the floor, off the floor, I was a little bit more like him than before I went to that floor. And I know I see a little bit clearer than I saw before. I know I love you and see your value just a little bit more because I hit the floor. So these experiences are priceless, or we're just living out of our heads and our knowledge has puffed us up, and one day we'll see that, God forbid, instead of our love edifying. Your Bible knowledge means very little if it doesn't become your life. It'll just snare you. You'll ride your Bible knowledge to the end and go, oops, I don't want that. And I've faced that, not in a fear, in a faith that that'll never be my resume. You follow me? But God put his heart in me for humanity. Remember how I say this is where I got that stuff about God not being hurt. God's not hurt and offended by humanity. He's hurting for humanity. God's not like, duh, duh. People teach him as if he's hurt and mad and you hurt the heart of God. Well, if he's hurting, he's hurting for you. He's not hurting for himself, I promise you, because he's love. So when you're hurting for yourself, it's not love. So when somebody does the worst thing they could possibly do towards you, you hurt for them for having the capacity to do that because they don't understand the value of people. And you hurt for them. Don't you dare hurt for you. That's not normal to heaven. It's just normal to the fall. Are you following me? Okay, so, yeah, and it's for all men, and it's all manner of prayer. So, can I pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues? You're praying in the Spirit when you're praying in agreement with truth. The Spirit and truth are one. He's the Spirit of truth. So, to live in truth is to live in the Spirit. Watch this. To walk in love is to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the presence of God, to walk in the anointing. We make these all separate teachings, and they're really, it's so simple. If I become love, I'm walking in the anointing. If I become love, I'm walking in power. Do you get it? If I'm praying through truth, because of truth and seeing with a clear perspective, I'm the only reason I can know truth is because of the Spirit of truth. He leads me in truth, in all truth. So to pray in the truth is to pray in the Spirit. It also, if you break things down in certain scriptures, I really believe in Jude, you can see it's just praying in truth, it's praying in tongues, and it's kind of like Ephesians, it's all manner of prayer. It's prayer inspired by the Spirit. Whether it's tongues, whether it's English, whether it's groanings, whether it's an overwhelmed heart that just cries for an hour and whispers out mercy every 5 minutes. I'll share a neat prayer story. You people that I might have shared this before. It's a neat prayer story. I just shared it with Don the other week. I never shared it with him, but we were talking about intercession and prayer. And you folks that really enjoy intercession and prayer will appreciate this for sure. I was in Montana visiting family, and this mountain just kept standing out to me. I just kept, you know how you'll get an impression, and it was just like, there's mountains everywhere, and they're beautiful, and they're big. But this one mountain, it's not that it looked any special, different, it just grabbed me. And I couldn't see the backside totally of it from the angle we were on. It looked like a big double mountain, kind of, and it went up high. And I could just see from the front. And I asked my brother-in-law about it, and he told me about the mountain. I said, is it public land? He said, yeah. He said, why, you want to hike it? I said, I don't know, I'm just intrigued by it. I keep getting drawn to it. He said, well, the back peak is like, you can see the top. That's on the back side. That's like a double mountain that hooks together. And he said, that's like the highest peak in this whole area. And I said, wow. Well, it was like 2 mornings later, I woke up real early. I walked out on the back. And the Lord said, Dan, I want you to go climb the mountain. And I thought he just wanted to take a walk with me.
Oh, how cool. Like, can I have this dance? Yeah, I can't dance, but let's go for it.
That happened to me one time. I was at home. I had a CD playing about dance with me. And the Lord said, so why aren't we dancing? And I went, duh. So I danced all over the house and it felt weird. And it took actually nobody in the room, but I knew he was there. And I actually felt embarrassed. And I was like, don't laugh at me. And I took Holy Spirit and we danced all over that house, baby. We tore that house up. I mean, we were dancing and I danced all over the house and just felt the love of God all over me. It was awesome. I thought God of the universe said, can I have this dance? Okay. Not the most graceful fellow, but let's go for it. So I drive over, I park, I go back, I'm climbing the mountain. I get halfway up the mountain and I see the top of the mountain. In my spirit, exactly what it looks like and where I'm supposed to go. And I'm like, God, what are you doing? I have my Bible and it's a serious mountain. There was rocks and sheer stuff and there was little mule deer trails cutting through spots and I was on them. Rocks were rolling and I'm thinking, this is a mountain. And I love outdoors. I'm in shape. I can hike all day. But I'll tell you what, I had to work to get up that mountain. I got up there and the strangest feeling came over me because I got up to what looked to be the top and I didn't realize it had this thing over here. And I looked and I thought, man, that's close to what I saw. It's not exactly what I thought I saw, but it sure is close. And I turned and I looked right at what I saw. Wow. Exactly. And I just got this, you know, what happened. It's like, whoa, you just feel clammy. You're like, God, you're so amazing. So I'm like, what are you doing? So I get over there on that peak and literally I turned and the whole city of Helena from that peak, I could see the north, south, east, and west. I could see the whole city. The whole city. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He told me to turn to a scripture and start to prophesy and read it out over the city. And I began to proclaim and yell, because Jesus is Lord. And then he'd have me proclaim another scripture, because Jesus. And I'm yelling in the mountain, Lord, 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 Lord. Now watch what happened. All of a sudden, the voices, it's the most amazing thing. The voices of intercessors 30 years ago were in my spirit and I could hear their prayers before the altar. And I began to pray and agree with them and proclaim and say, I agree. And I'd repeat what I was hearing. And here I am 30 years later, watch, from Pennsylvania. Not on a patio with an iced tea. On the mountain with sweat pouring down my face. Crying out for a city that I didn't even grow up in. That's not even anywhere near. There's something powerful about that. And I'm praying and God wanted me to climb the mountain. He could have told me to pray for the city from the porch. Sure. Here's what he said. Climb the mountain. I'm coming down over the mountain. I can't even tell you the elation. You talk about a wild man when I'm alone. If anybody was taking a hike, they'd have thought, this guy is nuts. I'd run out on these cliffs and I'd look out over, Jesus, you're amazing. You are Lord of all. And I'd scream as loud as I could, trying to let him hear it in Helena. And then I'd go down to the next little bench and I'd say, Jesus, as loud as I could. And I come on down, I'm halfway down the mountain and I'm like, God, that was so amazing. You know how you get impressions. When I heard these voices, I knew it was voices of prayer. And all of a sudden I just knew it was from 30 years back, a group of intercessors that had faith for that city. And God left me have the honor of joining in with them and adding my voice and my heart to their resounding prayer at the altar. So I'm coming down the mountain and I'm like, what's going on? He said, Dan, there's a powerful spiritual element in sacrifice, in laying down your life, in going the extra mile. There's a principle there that is more powerful than just the ease or the convenience. He said, the heart is what means everything. But when you obey like this and when you go an extra mile and you're willing to do this, and he explained to me, I'm from Pennsylvania. I'm not even praying for my own land. I hiked a serious mountain. You say, well, that's works. No, it's a form of surrender. It's the labor of love. It's whatever God says. I don't have to get technical with it and figure it out. But if God says climb the mountain, climb the mountain. Right? You know how our flesh is? If he'd have put that in me first and said, I want you to climb the mountain and pray for the city, you could think in your mind, well, I could pray for the city from here. Father, you hear from anywhere. You're not limited. And it's not works, it's grace. So I don't need to climb the mountain because Jesus did the work. I'll just pray from here. There's something about the labor of love. There's something about carrying your cross. There's something about doing things that you don't deserve to do or you haven't indebted yourself to do. There's something about the labor of love. There's something about the sacrifice of praise. You get it? It's very, very powerful. So that was just an intercession thing. So if God puts stuff like that on your heart, I don't remember praying in tongues on the mountain at all. That was all with understanding, and my heart was exploding with faith. Was I praying by the Spirit? You better believe it. You get it? Oh, it was so fun to me. God is amazing. A lot of good things happened in Montana. This is a side story. It'll eat time. You okay for one little side story? It'll make some of you weep. You're already not doing well. You'll love this story, Nick.
When you were saying that, I said in Revelation that the prayers of the saints are contained in little vials up there on the throne for God, sweet smelling fragrance of the odor in his nostrils.
Right.
The prayers of the saints rising up. It wasn't the incarnation that brought those prayers to you.
No, they're there.
One of those little vials that said...
Those voices are crying out, and watch this. There has something to do with the strength of intercession. There's something to do with... And God answering, there's something about that. And who knows what that one little act and morning of obedience did in light of those 30 years of prayers that have been hovering around the throne that have a voice. And then you have one day to climb a mountain and add your voice to that in a tone of sacrifice from PA, but yet the heart of God for the city as if you were born and raised there. There's something about that. And all of a sudden it adds strength to that voice. And who knows what's accomplished by that one little act of obedience. You know? So we go in town and we're trying to find our way through town. And it was just my wife and I and the kids. And we weren't with my brother and sister-in-law. And I didn't know my way around real well in the area we're at. So I pulled over and I called this lady to the car. Excuse me, ma'am. Could you please just tell me where? And she said, oh, sure. And she had good directions right there. Praise God. And so we got to where we're going. The next morning, I got up real early, and I went on to the top of Mount Helena. Mount Helena overlooks Helena as well, but it's it's right on the edge of the city, and it's rocky and it's high. And I got up there. I left in the dark because I wanted to be on that peak when the sun started to come up. And it was just so awesome, man. I carried a little CD tape player the whole way up there with me. And I took my Bible. And my family were like, is Dan okay? He seems a little flaky. He's just getting up and taking off in the middle of the mountain, morning to the mountains. And he's coming back and he's like, silly. Watch this. I go up there and I'm sitting on this rock. And I'm overlooking the city and the horizon's over there and it's all these big mountains and it's getting light and it's orange and the sun's coming. And I got this CD turned up and it's an older one. It's dear to my heart. It's soft and sweet. It was an old tape that I had from years ago. And I'm singing with all my heart and I'm just worshiping and I'm proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. I'm thanking him for his love. And all of a sudden, I got this impression that somebody was right there. And I'm like, I know you're right here, but it was different. And I went, here's this lady on the top of the mountain, on a rock behind me, standing, looking at me like this. I'm looking at her like, what are you doing up here? In the middle of in this mountain, right at daylight, knowing she had to come up when it was still kind of dark. A woman. I looked at her face. She started talking. She said, oh my goodness. She said, I was over on the other side of the mountain and I thought I heard angels. She said, it sounded so heavenly, I followed the sound. She said, and I looked and I saw your figure over here, and I came closer. I hope I'm not disturbing. And I said, hey. I said, I know you. You gave me directions yesterday in the town. She said, yes, that was you. And I looked at her and I said, honey, what are you doing on this mountain at daylight way up here in these rocks? I'm seeking the Lord. I don't know who he is. Everybody seems to have an opinion. And I thought if I'd come up here, I'd find him. I said, you have. I was so overwhelmed. She cried. We talked. I explained. And Spirit of God cried, born again. Yay, Jesus. Everybody has an opinion, she said. And I thought if I'd come up to this mountain, I would find him. Guess where God had me climb that morning, Dick? Guess what rocks he had me sitting on? 100 yards from where this lady chose to seek the Lord. Seek me and you shall. Come on, that is so sweet. I don't remember walking off the mountain. I think I went out to the peak and just went. Oh my goodness. Is God good or what? But I'm just up there loving on him and worshiping him. It's amazing what God will do. That's why we want God reality. We just don't want to be technical, doctrinal, logical. We want God reality. I'm telling you, God will send people to himself in you. He's not sending them to your mind. He's sending them to your heart. You get it?
This is good.
Questions? Your question pretty much answered, or you feel good about that? Any other questions? Where are we at now with? Because we did have other hands raised. Jean, you had your hand up a while ago. Is there still something in you?
Well, I heard this teaching, and it works for me. When you're praying, you're speaking in tongues, the Holy Spirit, if you ask, he will tell you, he will show you. He will run in the back of your mind what you're speaking if you want to know.
Yeah, well, were you here yesterday? Yeah, we covered that. I tried to cover that. You can actually believe for interpretation. You can want to know. There's a lot of times I'll pray in tongues, and I'm just doing it because it's God, and it's edification, and it's mysteries, and it's God. There's times I'll pray in tongues, and as soon as I'm praying, I know exactly what I'm saying. Remember how I used the illustration where if I go to pray for somebody in ministry, and I just feel like I'm kind of like in a place. It's happened to me a whole handful of times. I'm just not there to just pray and words aren't coming. I'll actually pray. Sometimes I'll just even turn my head a little and just pray out soft in other tongues. And it's like as soon as you do it, it's like you just see. And you get interpretation or you know what's wrong. Or you have an answer in God. It's just sweet because it connects you to the Spirit of God. It actually, I believe it brings your mind into alignment, your feelings, emotions. It tweaks you and turns you into the realm of the Spirit, the other tongues. And yeah, I totally agree.
When the scripture talks about prophecy,
the prophecy,
is that interpretation of tongues in that setting?
When he's talking about prophecy, all he's saying in Corinthians 14 is this. Prophecy is prophecy. That's inspired utterance. Boom. But other tongues in a corporate setting that's interpreted is on the same level of prophecy. It's prophecy. But it's only that if it's interpreted, because if not, it's unfruitful. If he came just praying in tongues, right? He'd rather say 5 words with understanding. Because like, remember how I used the illustration yesterday? I started acting like I was teaching and in tongues. And if I'd have said, good morning, guys, and I started in tongues, like if I was teaching, you guys would be like, and Mary, she started to talk back to me in tongues. Bless her heart. but it would be unfruitful unless there'd be some kind of move of the Spirit that would interpret that, right? So the key is, if we are going to pray in tongues in a corporate setting, that means if somebody gets higher than the atmosphere, kind of takes over to where everybody's listening, there's a place for it. But it ought to be interpreted so that it's on the level of prophecy and brings edification to everybody rather than, wow, I guess they're happy. Oh, whoa, I guess they're hooking up. You know what I mean? Or, yeah, or a visitor. I guess they're nuts. But you following that? So, but yeah, believe. Do what she said. Believe for understanding. Ask God to interpret. Ask God to enlighten your understanding.
Well, I thought 1 Corinthians 14 and 13 meant exactly that.
Yeah, that's what that's. Yeah, that's what we covered. Pray that you interpret. But he's really in the context of what he's saying, like I taught yesterday in that verse, he's really saying, pray that you may interpret in the sense of if somebody's using the gift of tongues in a corporate setting, we ought to pray that we interpret. But why not your personal life? You get it? And that's what she's saying, and I couldn't agree more. And I've had some amazing, intimate, God-revealing times praying in tongues. Remember how I shared how God spoke to me through tongues and interpretation through my own spirit from God to me personally? I've had that happen a whole bunch of times where the Spirit of God will come over me and I'll just shift into a tongue and all of a sudden I'm interpreting in English and it's God talking to me. And it's a shuddering moment. And man, there's times he'll call you son and this and that and it comes right out of you. And it's so funny because it's coming out of your mouth from his heart and piercing yours. You talk about intimacy. That's a big deal. So you be open for all that. Amen? Are you all right with the in and out stuff? Nobody's distracted, right? You good? Because if you are, we could take a break, yeah. You want to just take a break and let them do what they got to do? Take a break.